This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Boom, it took 42 days, but the Bears finally got a win. How you doing?
I'm doing great, guys, and I'm sure you feel a lot better about winning that game than losing it, for sure. And all I can tell you is it's hard to win in the NFL, as I'm sure Matt Nagy would tell you, especially with the way that their offense is playing and now the way their defense is playing. The fact that they won, that's great, and it wasn't pretty, but you at least you get to, you know, exhale a little bit on Monday morning. Today's their day off, and then they're looking at a schedule that includes 5 out of the next 7 against winning teams, and it's not going to be easy here finishing the season strong.
No, it sure isn't. And we did have a nice day yesterday. We have a long-standing tradition. One of the local restaurants gives us free chicken every time the Bears win. So we got some fried chicken yesterday, and we're feeling a little bit better about life. Then today, well, just a little bit better.
Okay,
just
fine.
A little. I'm just basking those 3 touchdown passes. Quit thinking about 2 for 12 on third down. And then today we learned that a few years ago, Ryan Pace, the general manager of the Bears, never sat down with Deshaun Watson when he was doing his draft prep. And we find that to be unconscionable and inexcusable. Boomer, don't you?
Well, I would say now in retrospect, yeah, you say to yourself, how could you not sit down with him? But I guess Ryan probably had something in mind for the quarterback of the Bears. He probably targeted, I would think, both Patrick Mahomes and Mitch Trubisky at some point determination as to who he was going to go and draft. I mean, everything looks ridiculous now, but just because of the way that Mitchell has played this season and the way that obviously Mahomes and Deshaun Watson have been playing the last couple of years. So when you compare those to him and you compare trading up to the number 2 spot to make sure that you acquired him and all that other stuff, it does look kind of silly. There's no question about it. But it's definitely Monday morning quarterbacking. There's no question about that, especially with the way that Mitchell was playing last year and the fact that he did lead him to the playoffs, even though you could say it was that defense that had a big part of it. But let's face it, Jordan Howard was a big part of it as well, and that's been missing. The offensive line has not been the same. So I hate to, you know, I hate to go back a couple of years and look at it from this lens that we are, you know, staring through right now, but unfortunately that's the life that the general manager leads.
Do you think that there were legitimate things to build on in that Lions game?
Yeah, well, you know what? I think you can turn the TVs back on at House Hall. I think that's the first thing you could do. It'd be nice because hopefully you'll hear some nice things being said about the team. You know, when you're mired in a 4-game losing streak in this league, man, it is just miserable. It is just it's awful. And, you know, getting a win and throwing 3 touchdown passes, not turning the ball over, he only attempted 23 passes. So, you know, Matt, again, is trying to win games, I kind of feel like, with 2 hands behind his back. I mean, he's just – he doesn't have the quarterbacks that a lot of these other teams have that are upper echelon, and Mitchell's really struggling. You know, I've kind of been there myself a little bit, so I understand the struggle that goes on. But, you know, he has to answer the question now over the next 6 to 7 weeks, is he the future for the Bears? And I'm sure many Bears fans have already made that determination that he's not, and I get that. I totally understand the emotion of the fans and everything else because I'm dealing with it here in New York with these 2 football teams. But that's not – internally, he has to prove to them that he was worth that number 2 overall pick, that he was worth the trade, that he was worth not interviewing Deshaun Watson, and all of those things that go into this. He now has to prove them, you know, that they were right. And if he doesn't, then they'll go out and they'll get somebody in there next year that will compete with Mitchell. I don't think they'll get rid of Mitchell, but I think they'll bring somebody in there like an Andy Dalton or somebody like that who comes free and bring him in to compete with Mitchell to push him.
Boomer, one of the other things that we are having a lot of conversation about is basically what should Matt Nagy be doing in-game? I know the goal is to win every week, and I know good coaches bend their system to the personnel that they have, but Matt Nagy is also on the record as saying, like, they didn't hire me to run the I formation. So I've been struggling with, like, how much should they dummy this thing down to make Mitch as comfortable as possible versus trying to run the system that we know can work at a high level, like in Philadelphia and in Kansas City, and forcing the quarterback to adapt and play within that system?
That's a really good question. It's a very complicated one, and I think we'd probably need about 4 hours and a lot of film study and tape to go over to really answer it thoroughly. But I will say I understand what Matt's dealing with. He's dealing with a kid that just hasn't taken the next step, and taking the next step is feeling comfortable on the field, having good players around you. You know, I don't necessarily know that he's not good enough to camouflage whatever the deficiencies are. And let's face it, the offensive line got off to a horrific start this year. Their pass blocking was terrible. I always go back to week one when I spoke with you guys and I said I could not believe that Mitchell Trubisky basically didn't play in preseason. He needed about 100 snaps in preseason. He's not that good to be put in a bubble and to protect through preseason due to injury. He's got to go out there and play. And especially if you have Chase Daniel on the sideline, at least you have a veteran that can go in short periods and pick up the slack if in fact he does get hurt like he did. So I just think that Matt is trying to win games the best way that he can. And when you're in the midst of a four-game losing streak, the last thing you want to do is put your quarterback out there and have him throw 45 times and throw 3 interceptions and then walk off that field again as a loser. The fact that they've lost 3 games at home, you know, plays an enormous amount of pressure on the way that a coach is going to handle a team. And I thought he was extremely conservative. Although, you know, when they got into the red zone, they were able to throw the ball down the field. It was nice to have Taylor Gabriel back in the flow of things. They basically are getting nothing out of their tight ends at all. And right, they're spending a lot of money at that position with Trey Burton. So I don't know if he's hurt now or what the situation is with him. So there are a lot of problems that Mitchell's dealing with. But then again, you know, he's not Patrick Mahomes. He doesn't have Tyreek Hill out there with him. You know, he doesn't have Travis Kelce out there with him. He doesn't also have, you know, the Howard Servin arm that Patrick Mahomes has. So, I mean, there's mitigating circumstances for sure. It's just that I don't necessarily know that there's a total, full of confidence or feeling of confidence, I should say, in Mitchell in that building, especially from his head coach and play caller.
Boomer, let's take a look for just a second at Nagy's philosophy of, I didn't come here to run the I formation. And, I know a lot of younger football minds are thinking bigger than football as it was many years ago, but those two teams we watched last night, both very good football teams, deploy a fullback. When did it become so offensive to people's football sensibilities that running a fullback is a bad thing? I don't get that.
Yeah, I always had a fullback back there with me, too. One that could pass block as well, which is also helpful. But two things that are synonymous with winning and losing in NFL, two particular stats. And one is rushing ability and rushing attempts and how successful you are running the football. There's that without question, the top rushing teams are usually the teams that are in the playoffs. And number two is the turnover stat. So if you are bad in the turnover differential, you're not going to be in the playoffs. The Bears were the opposite of what the 49ers are this year. The 49ers are 8-1 simply because they get turnovers, and they turn those turnovers into points like the Bears were doing last year. That's not happening for the Bears this year. And both of those teams last night, you know, I mean, that was a slugfest. That was a great football game because you had really good offensive plays, but you also then had just amazing defensive plays where, you know, guys were scooping and scoring and causing fumbles and causing, you know, wide receivers to drop balls, quarterbacks to run around, coaches to make difficult decisions. You know, you have San Francisco missing a field goal to win the game as they make a field goal at the same distance to tie the game. It was a great, great football game. But those are two of the upper echelon teams, you know, who basically possess some of the best defensive players. And, you know, in the case of the Seattle Seahawks, they probably have the NFL MVP and Russell Wilson and how he played last night. That's the difference between those two teams and I think the Bears. You know, the Bears just aren't getting the turnovers, and they're certainly not without getting those turnovers, they're not having a chance to capitalize them with touchdowns like they were last year.
Are either of last night's two participants topping your power rankings? I don't know if you do power rankings, but who do you believe to be the best team in the NFL right now?
Well, if you listen to my NFL CBS Sports Minutes, of course I do power rankings. Come on, what are you kidding me?
I heard you get on Mitch last week for the TVs. I enjoyed that one enormously.
Yeah,
thank you.
So I know I have to do a power ranking. I still think the 49ers, the Saints, the Vikings, of course, the Seattle Seahawks last night in the NFC. Over in the AFC, it really is. It's New England and Baltimore and everybody else. I don't think the other teams are, unless, you know, the Indianapolis Colts get healthy. If they get Devin Funchess back, they get Ty Hilton back, T.Y. Hilton back, and they get Jacoby Brissett back, they'll be a team that's going to be, you know, worth watching here the second half of the season. But it's still, to me, it's right now it's the Ravens, and it's got to be the Patriots, and maybe on Thursday night we'll see the Pittsburgh Steelers demolish the Browns in Cleveland. That would be wonderful.
We're talking to Boomer Esiason here. McNeil and Parkins on the Score. I was going to actually ask you about your CBS Sports Minutes at some point. I mean, do you have a ghostwriter? How much time do you put into these things? Because I got to be honest, your birthday shout-outs, yours are better than most that we hear on the network.
Well, I appreciate that. Thank you very much. I work very hard on them. As a matter of fact, I just sent in, I do have a writer that I write with, and I just sent in an entire week's worth of stuff that I'm looking at, and he's always looking out at different things and trying to find different things. I also do a TV show called Game Time. So I get to meet a lot of these unique, interesting people. Nadia Comaneci having to be one of them. So today was her birthday, so I had to give her a birthday shout out. It was great to interview. So
yeah,
so that's the way I do it. I just try to, you know, try to find, you know, all across the landscape of sports. I try to get a little bit of out of football, especially during the football season, except for those power rankings and when I'm talking about the games that are going to be airing on national television.
Well, if you ever run out of ideas, just fart and then deny that you farted.
Yes.
And then do a minute on I didn't fart.
6 minutes.
Yes, we did have flatulence skate here. Yes, of course we did. And you could imagine that we had a lot of fun with it in the morning on WFAN.
When you cannot function.
Yeah, there you go.
Fart.
You can't make it up, boys. You cannot make
it up. Right. I want to ask you more about the Vikings. Kirk Cousins has really made. I'm an admirer, and because I was one of the guys, you know, firing from the cheap seats after week four. The mental toughness this kid has exhibited. He's a grown ass man, but the way he has turned it around this year is remarkable. He was a national punching bag for the first 4 weeks of this season.
Yeah, and they've won five out of their last six, and that game against Dallas was huge. That was a huge win for them. You know, now all of a sudden it kind of gets, you know, they have Denver, Seattle, Detroit. They got the Chargers, and obviously they finish up with the Bears. So, I you know, this is a team that's is hitting on all cylinders. Dalvin Cook is the real deal, man.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that guy is like shot out of a cannon. You know, he is a playmaker. You know, he's Saquon Barkley when Saquon's healthy. He's, you know, I used to play with a guy by the name of James Brooks, and James Brooks was so multidimensional and made so many things so easy for me as a quarterback. And I think Dalvin's really helping, Kirk Cousins. I also like what they're doing offensively. You know, they're getting everybody involved. And that came, if you remember, they lost a game at Green Bay. They only scored 16 points. It was in week two. And that's when he really started to become the whipping boy. And everybody was killing them. And then, of course, they only scored six at Chicago as well 2 weeks after that. But since that time, you know, they're five out of their last six, and they're about as good, good a team as there is in the NFL. I just don't know if they can go and win in the playoffs, you know, outdoors, if they have to go to Santa Clara, if they have to go to Seattle. I think that would be asking a lot for that team.
We finally got to see, Daniel Jones v. Sam Darnold. Mm-hmm. I think both of them look like they have serious upside, but I don't know about either coach. Which coach is on the hotter seat in New York?
That's a really good question. Both of them are. I mean, it goes back and forth. I think Pat Shurmur right now is really feeling the heat. If I had to guess, and I had to, you know, kind of look into the future about what's going to happen here, their schedule in the last 6 weeks is going to be really, really tough. I don't necessarily know that they can get the four wins even. I would imagine that the defense coordinator, James Betcher, will probably be moved out of here. I can't imagine that they would want to go with another offensive system in the second year of Daniel Jones. Daniel Jones as a quarterback really looks like he's the real deal. The problem with him is that the speed of the game is kind of, you know, catching up to him, especially in the pocket. He's got a lot of fumbles. It's not about small hands or any of that crap. Is, you know, it's the time in the brain. His clock in his brain's got to go a lot faster, and he's got to get rid of the ball quicker, and he'll do that next year. As far as Sam Darnold is, you know, he is really coming out of like the depths of playing quarterback in the NFL. He's in a blender for 3 weeks there. Played a lot better last week. The Giants' defense is just horrific. This week they go on the road to the Redskins. It'll be a little tougher for Sam, but hopefully he's got his feet back underneath him, because I'll tell you what, he was horrendous for about 3 weeks there where he was just completely lost. So hopefully he'll have his season turned around here. Their schedule actually gets a little bit easier, so hopefully they'll win maybe three or four out of the next five or six, and they'll feel a little bit better about themselves going into the offseason.
Last thing for you, Boom. Bears have the Rams. We were given the numbers yesterday. In Jared Goff's last 16 games, he's got 16 interceptions and 16 fumbles with only 17 touchdowns. What's happened to the Rams' offense?
And $110 million in guaranteed money.
Yeah.
Not a bad gig if you can get it.
You talk about really, right, but you talk about a decision that you really have to wonder about. I know he took him to the Super Bowl last year. He's a really nice young man. I like Jared. I just don't necessarily know that he has the Mahomes in him, the Tom Brady in him, you know, the Russell Wilson, you know, that inner just belief that you're gonna be able to get it done, and you're going to get it done, and you're not going to be overwhelmed. I also think they made a mistake with Todd Gurley. You know, they gave him a lot of money, too, and they locked him up. And Todd is not the player he was at the beginning of last season. So, you know, these things go in and out. I know that they're trying to save their season when they traded for Jalen Ramsey. I think their defense is pretty good. They got hammered in Pittsburgh on Sunday. I don't know if you guys saw any of that game. The Pittsburgh Steelers defense is back, man. I mean, they are flying around all over the place. They're in the midst of a four-game winning streak. So they walked right into a hornet's nest. The Bears defense, I would think, would take some modicum of confidence out of watching the tape of that Pittsburgh defense just absolutely maul the Rams. If they're going to win, that's going to be how it's going to have to get done. They're going to have to get turnovers against the Rams this week. And Jared Goff, obviously, as you just pointed out, has been very adept at doing that.
Boom, thank you as always. We'll talk to you next week.
Thanks, Boomer.
Always a pleasure, guys. Enjoy the chicken. See you, boys.
Thanks.
Thank you.
See
it's
later.
Delicious. Enjoy the flatulence.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.